I mean, could you be in a better place on this day? You know, what is so exciting about this particular moment that we live in is that as we emerge out of this COVID crisis, there is a world waiting to be born. And the fundamental question that we have to ask ourselves is, what will be our response to this moment? Now, like you, I'm here and I'm having a lot of fun. And after this service, later on in the afternoon, I will be in that river. And it's so wonderful to have time to rest and to renew. But the fundamental question is, you know, to what end? What can we do to make our communities safer, more civil, more equitable, and just for all people? This is the question that we are being asked in this particular moment. And this is what Jesus is encouraging his disciples to think about. He's saying, I need you. I need you to walk with me. I need you to trust me. I need you to go out into the world with your hearts open. I need you to go wherever there's pain, wherever there's suffering, and show them my love. Don't get rocked out in what the outcomes are going to be. Just trust me. Trust me. And through the power of the Spirit of God, I will reveal that to you. And you will be a part of the renewal and transformation of the world. Today, on this 4th of July, as I think about freedom, and as I think about sacrifice, and as I think about the call to service, this one wonderful man is on my heart. His name was Michael Teal. And from the very beginning of his life, he had that question that I think sort of comes to all of us. What's the purpose of my life? How can I make a difference? And he decided the way to get involved was by joining the military. And he was deployed to Afghanistan. I know I'm thinking about him especially as we think about the drawdown in Afghanistan. And his work was to fly on helicopters and to participate in humanitarian efforts. And on a particular day when he was traveling to rescue some children, he was shot down. Now, Michael was the first person in Dallas to be killed in Afghanistan. Anybody here from Texas? Texans love their country, as we all do. But boy, when big things happen with the armed forces, they show up in big numbers. So on this particular day of his funeral, the church was completely jammed. It was a moment of grief and also a moment of gratitude that he had answered the call and was doing exactly what he felt called to do. After the memorial service, we went out to the cemetery. I was nervous with all of these people. I looked and I saw the Bugle Corps, and they played triumphant music. And then there was the 21-gun salute. And then the lone bugler playing taps. And then at a moment, I reached down and I took some of the earth and I said, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, commending him to God. But what no one told me was, at that moment, there would be a new tribute that would be paid to him. And right then, with impeccable timing, four F-15 fighters flew almost at tree length. And as they went over the grave, they tipped their wings so as to salute him. And then one shot up through the clouds as if they were going to heaven. And if that wasn't enough, after the tingling and the hair went off of my neck, about 10 helicopters flew over as a tribute as well, giving thanks for his life, but also reminding all of us that were standing there that his death must not be in vain, that all of the lives that were given for the sake of freedom should not be in vain, and that the best way that we could honor his legacy was by being engaged in service as well. Now, I know it can be really intimidating, but we need to understand, I think, that in the Christian life, there are three fundamental stages. The first stage of the spiritual life is when we simply become aware that God is a part of life. And boy, doesn't it help to have a great backdrop to remind us of that. The next stage of the spiritual life is when we begin to pray and we seek some sort of union with God. And that's when we feel that intimacy, that love, that grace, that sense of renewal, that sense of hope. But then there's a third stage that fewer people get to, which is when what we call the stage of vocation. When we turn to God and we say, as St. Francis did, not my will, but thy will. Not my will, but thy will. Not my will, but thy will. And throughout life, throughout all the ages and stages of our life, whether we're young or whether we're older, that question continues to emerge in our souls. And how we live out that is our gift to God. And oftentimes, it isn't necessarily our position in life, our title, that is the way that we serve. Although that can be a way that we serve. It's often when we get caught up in some critical moment that the summons of God comes. When I think about vocation, I think about a story that Herman Miller, who was the, Max Dupré, who was the CEO of Herman Miller, the chair company. Do you know the chair company? And his, very early in his career, he was asked to go to a mill town, a rural area, to be the leader of this business. And he was so intimidated. He was a young person. And they said from the corporate office, the most important thing that you can do when you go to this town is get to know the millwright, the one who runs the mill, the one who started as a teenager, who learned all the systems and the operations, who knew all of the men and the women who served. Get to know him. That's going to be really, really key to your success. So when he moved into this small town, on the first day of work, the millwright died. So on the day of the wake, he showed up at the cinder block funeral home in the rural area. And there were all these men who were not used to wearing ties, who had their shirts and their ties open. And people were gathered around, and there over in the corner was the widow. He was standing there, feeling a little awkward, not sure what to do, appreciating the differences in culture, recognizing that he was relatively, well, brand spanking new. And they had a kind of reverence for him and his leadership position. And so she turned to him, the widow, and said, do you mind if I read some poetry? And he said, sure. Why not? Please do. And so she pulled out this book and she read the most beautiful poetry. And then she sat down. And there was awkward silence. And he said, who wrote that poetry? Was that Shelley? Keats? No, she said. That was my husband's poetry. And he said, right at that moment, a question haunted him. Who was that man really? Was he a millwright who wrote poetry? Or was he a poet that did the work of a millwright? Who are you really? That's the big question. And what role do you and I have to play in this beautiful world that we live in? Don't be overwhelmed by the question. Just keep asking it. What is the purpose of my life at this particular moment? As the poet John O'Donohue said, the question is the lantern. The question is the lantern. And as we ask the question, we find union with God, and God uses us to his glory. Again, do not be overwhelmed by the task. Simply go and love extravagantly, because the light and the love that the world needs is in you. Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene.